When I say risk, what do you think about? Is that jumping from an airplane? Snow skiing? Bungee jumping? Well, each of these is definitely a risk, but risk can be a whole lot more. Have you ever thought about the risk of going to work, opening or closing a building? Risk to yourself, risk to others. There are hundreds of these risks hidden in our everyday lives. And a great way to explore these is through the people who work to manage these risks every day. That's why we chose the name, Everyday Risk, to emphasize the hidden nature of these risks and speak with different experts on the ways we can manage them. Join me, Larry Pogue, and my co-host, Lucas Fonestill, as we talk with the best and brightest about their work, the risks they see, and how we might manage them. Hey, Lucas, it sounds like we have a really great show on decontamination of property. We've got Andy James in here to talk about it. Can you tell us a little bit about Andy?
Yeah, Andy is the National Director of Restoration for Blue Sky. He has extensive training in bloodborne pathogens, universal precautions, and infection control. Andy's responsible for organizing, directing all national response efforts, oversight of all emergency restoration projects, and management, recruitment, and training of all restoration and environmental personnel.
Well, that is awesome. Well, let's get started.
Andy, man, thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate you being on the call. I think a hot topic for a lot of people, and I know for me, just wanting to know personally, is we have an employee that has been diagnosed with the coronavirus and recently been at work. What can a company like yours do to help decontaminate facilities and make it safe for people to come back to work?
Yeah, sure. Great question, Lucas. And I just want to mention, very grateful for you having me on the call today. So thank you for that. You know, the initial goal, Lucas, really is to have a relationship and a contract in place with a restoration company or similar type firm prior to responding to this type of situation. And you want to make sure, obviously, that firm's experienced in infection control practices and principles. We want to work with your contractor to create an alignment on the approach so everybody understands all the components and expectations prior to rushing out to the job without a plan. You want to talk about, you know, what's the type of facility and operation of that business? What's the area of confirmed or potential viral contamination? What's the square footage and size? We want to certainly understand what the response time would be from the time of the initial call, which of course would depend on the location of the facility and the contractor's closest response center. But it's best really to, you know, understand all those expectations prior to engaging a company to come out and do the work.
So Andy, I think you hit a home run on your first statement. It's something that I discuss with most of all of my clients is having a contract in place. And normally when we're looking at a restoration company, we're talking fire, wind, you know, some sort of physical damage, right? But this COVID-19 brings us to a whole new place where a lot of people haven't thought about, and it's the infectious disease. So I think having that contract in place is gold, right? Because it saves you guys a ton of time and a ton of work, be able to get in right away and just get right to business instead of having to look at contracts, having a client getting three different bids. All that time costs money, right, by being down compared to having you guys get in and do the job.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the key items in the decontamination process and the timing and costs associated with that?
For us, it's going to start with the safety of our employees and certainly the safety of the building occupants. We need to understand basic infection control principles. Anybody performing this work needs to understand basic infection control principles. And it should be known, Lucas, that, you know, current available information suggests this virus is spread both by direct exposure to aerosolized droplets when an infected person coughs or sneezes, and when uninfected people are exposed to objects and surfaces that could contain residual viral particles. So the action that we're taking for our clients is to really minimize the spread caused from secondary exposure through cleaning and applying an EPA-registered disinfectant to surfaces that are likely to be touched by occupants or otherwise known as high-touch surfaces. You know, many application methods of an antimicrobial product that are currently used in the restoration industry or the medical industry can be considered, and you know, we've found that the most efficient method is the use of a ULV fogger electrostatic sprayer, and in some cases, typical spray and wipe. We're going to work with our customers to understand their specific properties and operations, which gives us the ability to determine what their potential high-touch surfaces are and what should be included in the application of the disinfectant, which can sometimes include walls, cabinets, shelves, things like that, certain fixtures, but certainly more common areas such as doorknobs, handles, light switches, bathroom fixtures, things like that, right? Computer mouses, keyboards. I would say that the use of the ULV fogger and electrostatic sprayer have shown to really minimize the amount of manpower required and maximizes the use of PPE, personal protective equipment, which, you know, due to the crisis is now in very short supply and would allow for more PPE to be available for others throughout the country and certainly maximize the efficiency. Some clients of ours require work to be completed in a specific time frame. Our goal is always to use minimal personnel as possible to get the job done, you know, in the required time frame that our client needs us to get done in. Which, depending on the surfaces we're cleaning, can be anywhere between 800 and 1,500 square foot per person in an 8-hour shift.
Those are really good numbers for us to hear. What about contact time, Andy? How soon after you clean a facility can employees come back in safely and get to work?
Great question. You know, different antimicrobials and disinfectants have different dwell times, different contact times. So it's important that the contractor applying the disinfectants understands those based on the product label. The product that we are using has a 10-minute contact time, which what we've found really does not require a second application of the product. It's going to achieve that goal by the one-time application with the ULV fogger or spray and wipe technique.
So there's other options out there besides the fogger, right? You got an airless sprayer option. And depending on what that chemical or that SDS sheet says, there could be different contact times. So great to know what you guys are using, but I think, you know, what others are using out there could be different. Is that correct?
That's correct. And it's also important that if a contractor is going to use an aerosolized application method, they need to be very familiar with the product that they're using. In some cases, these products or these disinfectants aren't designed to be applied through an aerosolized application. So, you know, make sure they're paying attention to that as well.
Larry, how about on the mental side of things, right? So on the physical, we're cleaning the facility from a physical standpoint, getting the contamination or any potential contaminations from the building. How do we recover from a mental standpoint, do you think, when somebody at the facility has had the virus and now and employees are supposed to be going back in and doing work in those same areas?
You actually probably touched on a couple of questions there. So one, you have the issue of there was a contamination and that we're responding to that. And so certainly in your disinfection program, and OSHA has been asking employers to look at these disinfection programs as they look to ramp back up and go to work. But in your disinfection program, having somebody, a vendor, an outside vendor is going to help. And I think even from a mental status, giving employees, letting them know that you've done something extra, you've taken it to the next level to disinfect, you know, that can be very important in easing fears and concerns. And in addition, probably have a proactive stance that we might need to take a look at as we get ready to ramp back up. What type of proactive disinfection standards can we meet or can we implement to help, you know, people feel comfortable in the workspace? Do you have anything that along those lines that you've thought about, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely, Larry. I think, again, it's important to understand the facility and the operations that are underway within that building. So, you know, and the reason we need to consider that is because it's going to create a different list, so to speak, of what high touch areas might be. And if an individual or a business wants to be proactive in their approach, in other words, they want to ensure that they're taking all the steps necessary to keep a clean facility, you know, minimize any sort of contaminants on surfaces for their employees, that's really the approach. They want to keep a clean facility by minimizing dirt and dust and oil residues, you know, on high touch surfaces. But beyond that, they can engage a restoration or environmental firm to come in once a week or as often as they deem necessary to disinfect or apply a disinfectant to all those high touch areas in their property.
And I think, Andy, everybody's approaching this differently. And I know some of my clients, some people are doing that, where once a week they have a shutdown period where they just go and clean from top to bottom. So they're taking that proactive measure, and other people have the reaction measure of, we're going to continue to operate, we're 24/7, but once we have that, you know, positive test, then we're going to shut everything down. Safety of our employees is first, then we're going to clean. So there's multiple options out there for people. It's just really depending on what their business opportunities are.
Yeah, and if I could, one more comment on that. I think besides adjusting people's behavior, you've got to take some additional steps to stop the spread of contamination from surfaces. And that's really what we're talking about. We want to adjust people's behavior by social distancing and all those recommended things, but also by keeping your facilities clean, because we know that it could potentially spread on contaminated surfaces.
So there's opportunities for improvements for that in-house as well, Andy, right?
Absolutely.
Well, one of the things that always bothers me in times like this when we have a major situation is how to find a company that you can trust, how to find a company that has been doing this for a long time, not just a pop-up shop that chases the storm. So can you kind of mention or talk real quick about how does a company go about looking for a firm that has been in the infection controls business and not just somebody that's chasing that storm trying to make some easy money?
Lucas, great point. It's important folks out there really avoid the fly-by-night contractors, particularly as it relates to this pandemic. And how do you do that? You got to do your research. You need to take the time to ask the questions with the contractor that you're engaged in. Are they prepared with the proper training, the proper equipment? Do they have experience in responding to other biological contamination emergencies? Finally, you know, they should ensure that the contractor is a certified firm with the IICRC or the RIA, Institute for Inspection, Cleaning, Restoration Certificate, or the Restoration Institute Association.
Yeah, thanks, Andy, for that. We definitely think that's an important aspect from an insurance perspective as well, right? Bringing the right company in, look at their insurance agreements, make sure that they're a company that you can trust, that you have recommendations for, and not just bringing anybody off the street to provide that work for you. Andy, real quick before we leave, I know Blue Sky, when I was introduced to you guys, it wasn't on the infectious control side. It was more on the restoration side. Can you just give us a quick breakdown about the services that you guys offer?
Yeah, I'd love to. Lucas, at our core, Blue Sky is a firm that cares deeply about our employees and our mission, which is to provide an exceptional customer experience, you know, through our actions, our teamwork, certainly our genuine caring for our customers' needs. We're driven by passion and empathy, which is two of our core values, but we fix broken buildings and we clean sick buildings by providing restoration, renovation, environmental, and commercial roofing services across the nation.
Andy, definitely just wanted to thank you for coming on the show. I know this is a question that had always been concerning to me, right? Once we get the virus on the reactive side, what do we do? So I think this answers a lot of questions for me, and Larry, hopefully for you as well, and hopefully for our listeners.
I'm grateful for your time, and I'm honored to be participating on this call. So thank you so much.
Wow, what an excellent show, Lucas. Really enjoyed some of Andy's inputs and a couple of things that I think we need to think about in summary. You know, one, OSHA is going to be looking for your decontamination and infection prevention program as you bring people back to work, but also for those folks that are still working now, that's going to be quite important. And then mental health is always a big issue with employees. We have to realize and apply some compassion here that folks are going to be a little bit scared and a little bit worried. So the things that we do for infection prevention and decontamination are the things that are going to help them feel more comfortable coming back into the workplace when we have this known virus.
Yeah, and from the mental side of things, Larry, we kind of talked about that proactive approach, right? With the extra cleaning, maybe bringing a firm in on the weekends to do some extra cleaning, or just being the reactive side of once you have, you know, if you have the contamination in your facility. hiring the right firm, right? Get the right organization that can help your firm. Make sure they're qualified, have the right certificates, have the right insurance in place, right? That they have a history of doing this work and potential references if you need them. And it's not too late to get a contract in place with the right firm. So if it does affect your facility, you're ready to go.
Awesome, Lucas. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Yeah, another great show. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks for joining us on Everyday Risk. We look forward to talking to you again soon.